What's up, and welcome to the Invincibly Broken Podcast, a weekly talk show hosted by your boys, Orlando and Julian, talking about today's society, their family lives, and anything they damn well please. So sit back, relax, turn up the volume, and enjoy the show. So, Julian, are you a regretful person?
I try not to be. You know, I try to think that whatever choices I made, they were calculated, measured, and, you know, prepared for whatever consequence comes with it, good, bad, or indifferent.
So you really calculated all your decisions and you were prepared for all those consequences?
No, I said I like to think.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that first part because I don't think anybody really, well, I don't want to say everybody doesn't calculate it. We all make calculated decisions eventually in life, but I know you pretty well and I've seen some of your
life choices.
Yeah, life choices. And I don't think there was many calculations going through your head during those times.
Well, I mean, during those times were different times. And let's be honest, during those times, there was a lot of alcohol involved.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I thought it'd be good to have a conversation about regrets because, you know, as you get older, right, and you have a tendency to look back a lot on your life and, you know, as much fun as we've all have had in our early 20s, our teens through our early 20s, right, is when you probably were the most reckless in your life. And you, after you've become an adult or you start adulting and you start thinking back of the things that you used to do, right? Maybe you partied a little too hard. Maybe you missed out on an opportunity at work, that girl that got away or that girl that dumped your ass and you're still lingering about it. You know, I feel like everybody has those types of regrets. And A lot of people, I feel, really hold on to these regrets because sometimes through conversation, you hear them talk about it and like, oh, I wish this and what ifs or, you know, this could have been me or that could have been me if they see something on TV or maybe a friend that might be doing a little bit better than they are. So I thought it'd be kind of interesting to have a conversation and kind of discuss life regrets. And I'm curious to know if you have any that linger around in your mind from back in those days.
No, it's interesting that you bring that up because I know that many times I've always, on top of that, what you said, a lot of people is like, oh, yeah, you always end up into this, you know, hypothetical. What if you could go back in time? What would you change? I'm pretty sure I've had that conversation many a times.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want to go back at least once? And you could think of 100 million reasons on why you would go back, right? Like, you know, I personally, the first thing I think of is investing my money in my 20s during the dot-com boom, right? Like I could have been a millionaire if I would have believed in Google or Yahoo or any of those companies that everybody laughed at back in the day. Like, oh, those will never, ever work out. But that's just one. So before we even go on, do you, like, I know we joked about it earlier, you said that you feel like you've made calculated decisions in your life, but are you a regretful person? Let's start there. Like, do you sit there and often wonder of things that could have been?
Yes. I mean, I think it's a natural inclination mm-hmm. that you always think back and you're like, man, you know, if I would have done this or not done this. I mean, I think that's just natural. It's whether you dwell on them. That could probably be the difference between a regret and a what or a could have been. Mm-hmm. And I like to be like, I could have been. All right, yeah, it could have happened this way. But I mean, there's really nothing I can do about it now. And then depending on what it is, if it's something that I could fix now, like education, that has been one of my biggest regrets in life. You know, I'm 40 years old. If I would have just not been such a dumbass and actually got my education when I was supposed to get my education. Mm-hmm. I could have been done years ago. I could have had like 3 masters by now. But now I'm just like celebrating the fact that I finally got an associate's mm-hmm. at age 40. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's one of those regrets, but I'm kind of correcting it now, you know, before I get too old and senile.
So so let's talk about that a little bit, because I'm still in a situation. Like, I just finished my bachelor's, I think about 6 months ago. I think 6 months ago. We'll still go with 6 months. So I'm in a similar situation, but I'm curious, since you mentioned that, since it is a regret of yours, what was it in your late teens, early 20s that you decided not to go to school? What was the cause? Was there, because sometimes there's things that happen, like, don't get me wrong, I mean, you could have been a knucklehead and been like, I ain't going to school, I just want to party. Or there could have been something serious going on in your life that you opted to go a different direction.
I hate school.
Touché.
I hate it.
Me too.
But I mean, throughout middle school, high school, I hated school. Don't get me wrong, I was a good student, but I hated school. And my school of thought at that time was, I hate it and it's free. Why do I want to pay for it?
Mm.
So that was one of the things that really held me back. And then, you know, I became, you know, I went into the Army Reserves. And even when I had all this education money being thrown at me, I still didn't do it. So my excuse was, I just didn't like school. I didn't like school.
Interesting.
And because the resource was there for me to pay for it,
mm-hmm.
I just never took advantage of it.
Yeah. When I was in school, so I did my first 2 years, 18 and 19, of college, right? And I through those years, I was working like part time, and then I had went full time, and I was trying to do full time work while finishing up a school. And honestly, it just became a lot. And like, financially, I needed more money, and I had an opportunity at work. And honestly, like, the way I looked at it was, I was making more money than most of my friends were. I had a really good job. I'm going to be completely honest. It was zero skill. I got really lucky. I had a good friend who hooked me up with a job, and it was more like a career at 18 years old. And I really flourished at it, and I was doing well. So while my friends were working at Burger King and movie theaters, I had a legitimate sales job that I was thriving in. So I, you know, it was one of those things that I was like, I had to get rid of one. And unfortunately, college wasn't paying the bills, you know, maybe a few years from now. But, you know, and to your point, all these years later, right? What, like 20 some odd years later, you know, I found myself in a position that, dude, I'm almost there. Why not finish it? Like, you know, like, why not just take the plunge, get that piece of paper so I could add it to my resume on top of my 25 years of work history. Was it a regret of mine? In a way, I kind of think about it. I'm like, you know, you're right. I could have had a doctorate in something, right? Or a master's or something like that. But I just never, academically, like, I was never, I've never been like an academic type person. Like, I don't like, I'm with you. I'm not big on the education system. I think a lot of the stuff they teach you in college is ridiculous and you don't need it. And it's a business, a corporation within itself to extort money from people. I mean, that's the bottom line, unless you're going to become a doctor or something that you really need to learn. But anyway, so I don't really regret it. I think I made the right choices at the time. And obviously if it was a regret, I fixed it because I got the degree anyway.
Yeah, it's the same way that I look at it, like the same way. You know, I was never a huge fan of like office type jobs in the first place, mm-hmm. you know, but for, you know, my late teens, you know, early adulthood, I was more of a hands-on kind of thing, you know, did those kinds of jobs where don't really require an education. And just like you, I was making more money with zero debt than a lot of my friends who went out and got that degree mm-hmm. and they're not working in their field of study and have just a ton of debt. But plus also during our time, you know, things like online schooling was not.
No.
And that's the other part. You know, me having to, okay, I have a job, I'm making good money, but then I have to ask for this day off or cut my hours
yes.
so I could go attend a class and all this other stuff. So that was inconvenient for me.
Absolutely.
But now, you know, fast forward 10, 15, 20 years online, I'm not a fan of it, but I've gotten used to it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm more of a, you know, in a classroom, I can ask a question and instead of having to send out an email and wait for a response.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've gotten accustomed to it. I'm almost done with my bachelor's degree. I'm considering going to the master's. I don't know. But yeah, to me, it was... I do kind of regret not having started from the get-go, especially knowing that I had that resource available to me. So as far as like paying for it was not an issue. It was just an excuse that it's not convenient for me.
Mm. So... before we continue going into the different things that we regret, because I'm sure you and I could talk for a long time of what it could have been. But I think this also, this dealing with life regrets ties in with a lot that we've talked about in the past, especially regarding around mental health, right? So we find ourselves in situations where we ask, what if, you know, like what if I would have took that job, or what if I would have moved to the West Coast, or what if I would have paid $5 for a lottery ticket? You know, you can go down this rabbit hole, and some people really have a hard time dealing with the past and regrets and what ifs. So what about you, Julian? Like, I know that we both discussed battling depression. Let's just go with that. Like, so like during your time with depression, did you ever find yourself really harping on maybe one or two things that maybe you should have done or shouldn't have done?
Yes. Yes. So one of the biggest, when I, well, finally sought help, I was in a pretty bad place work-wise, relationship-wise. But prior to getting to that place that I moved to, I was offered a different place. But then I was like, no, this one is further away from everybody. I was offered like North Carolina mm-hmm. or Oklahoma. And I was like, nah, you know, I think I'm going to try Oklahoma, something that's kind of far away, venture on my own. And within 3 months, I was like, oh, I should have gone with North Carolina.
Yeah.
So that was definitely a big regret of mine, because I was like, ugh, I possibly could have been in a better place, not just professionally, but perhaps personally. Mm-hmm. You know, my marriage at the time was kind of starting to circle the drain, and, you know, maybe mentally I could have been in a better place. But I mean, there's, if I could turn back time. Anyway, sure. I would have made that decision. Yeah. But, and again, and I know we've had this conversation, but a lot of the stuff that we have gone through have made us who we are today.
Absolutely.
So if I had not gone to that really shitty place a year after, I wouldn't have ended up in a freaking awesome place.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because for me in particular, like when I was going through my hard times around depression, I found myself constantly replaying like every decision, like one of those like episodes on TV when you have flashbacks all the time. Like, I just remembered like little things. Like, at the time I was working at a job that I really was not happy with whatsoever. And it was funny because it was in a total different field. I had left one company to do something I had never done before. And even though I had did well, I did something where I was comfortable in and I was really good at, and I jumped into something totally different. And I found myself being like, why am I here? Like, I had a shitty boss and I was like, why am I here? I should have never had left in the first place. Like, I should have stayed. If I would have stayed there, I would be X, Y, and Z by now. Or I would be doing this or making X amount of money. And like, even like I would think a lot about moving to Florida from New York. And that was a decision that I made back in 1994. And I was 15 years old when I moved to Florida. And it was a decision that I made on my own to come down here. And I literally would just constantly think about what my life would have been like if I would have stood in New York, you know, maybe I should never have left. But then it brought me to maybe I should move back to New York, or, you know, it's just, it's the craziest things that go on through your head. And, you know, when you have all that compounded pressure from real life, from, you know, your relationship, maybe your children, your job, you know, you start to turn back the hands of time, and you're like, damn, I should never have done that. Or even like, right. Or we've all been there before. I'm sure you're at work and you said something and you're like, I should have never said that. I should reel that back in. Where's the delete button? Damn it. He heard me. You know, I'm messing well. So, you know, everyone goes through those type of things. So, you know, but you brought up an excellent point, Julian. You would not be the person you are today if it wasn't for the decisions you had made, right? Regardless if you feel like it was God's plan for you to be there, faith brought you that way, if you do believe in a higher power, but everything happens for a reason, right? And you are who you are today because of those decisions that you made, regardless of how you think of it now. And you're like, I personally don't know why you picked Oklahoma, but I would have totally went with North Carolina. But I digress. Let's pick something else to talk about.
Yeah. Because now I'm regretting having brought that up. And I have a similar, as far as you say, going from New York, my whole thing was coming up to Miami, from Miami to Orlando. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a huge difference in distance. But, you know, very similar situation. But I was actually curious that, so when you were going through your treatment,
mm-hmm.
okay, and this is before you, and I'm talking about the thyroid,
mm-hmm.
that treatment.
When I was going through cancer.
The C word,
yes. It's okay. We could say the C word. I'm comfortable with it. I slapped that bitch in the mouth. We could say her name.
I got it, but it's hard for me because you're one of my best friends.
Yeah, and you're good.
All
right. So when I was going through treatment.
Yeah, exactly. So when you're battling cancer,
mm-hmm.
I know at some point you had a lot of, you know, in between treatments and whatever it is. Did you do chemo?
I don't know.
Was it just a surgery? Radiation, though.
Yeah, it was surgery and radiation. No chemo.
Okay, so with the radiation, you're sitting there in that little table, whatever, while you're getting doused with. You have a lot of time on your hands to think about stuff.
Mm.
So is that something that actually caused you? Now you're going through this, which is a huge deal.
Yeah.
Did your mind start wondering? I'm like, man, you know, was this random? You know, what could I have done maybe to avoid this? Maybe I should have, you know, paid attention more to my health and blah, blah, blah. I mean, did that go through your mind?
You know, it did. And to kind of give some color behind my treatment, it's not conventional radiation where they shoot you. They did not point radiation directly onto my neck and thyroid area. I had to swallow a radioactive iodine pill, which has just as much radiation as the direct type of radiation that people put on there. But anyway, so I had to be isolated in a hospital for 3 days, and then I had to go home, and I was in isolation for 2 weeks. And you saying this now, I'm starting to think back of all that time. So, you know, I had found out I had cancer, right? And then before I even went and started treatment, like it's a long process to get there, right? So I had to get surgery, I had to go on this special diet to remove all the iodine in my body. And then I had to take the treatment, which then was another 2.5 weeks of isolation. So my entire treatment process was like 6 months long. And I had unbelievable amount of time to just think. So yes, I did a lot of thinking, and I did think, what the hell could I have done to change this? You know, if I would have went to the doctor, you know, once a week, you know, I was that typical patient. I don't know if women are the same way, but I know a lot of guys that just don't go to the doctor unless a limb is falling off. I didn't go to the doctor. I mean, I broke my hand once and I walked around with a broken hand for almost 4 weeks before I actually went to go get it casted. So that just gives you some color of the type of person I am when it comes to doctors. It was an ongoing thing, you know, when I was having thyroid issues in the past, was I taking my medication every day? No, I wasn't. I don't think I had taken it seriously because I just always summed it up till I was young. Do I think that's the reason why I had cancer? Absolutely not. I don't. It was inevitable to get it regardless of the medication I was on or for me not taking it, whatever. But did it help? Possibly. But it's not isolation how it is now with COVID-19 where you're at home. Like, I literally couldn't be within 6 feet of people, like at all. Like, you know, especially children. You know, at that time, my daughter was a little over a year old and I couldn't even hold my daughter for 2.5 weeks. So it there was a lot of thinking in there. And I'm trying to think of the stuff that I thought about in that room. You know, I've really suppressed those thoughts over the years because, you know, I did it, I beat it, I'm over it, and, you know, move on to bigger and bigger things. But dude, yeah, absolutely. There were a lot of thoughts of regret and what if in that during that time frame.
Okay. I can definitely imagine, but let's kind of pivot a little bit into something less life-threatening.
Okay.
So I know you're a very confident guy. I know you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've Thank known you for almost 20 that. Years, so I know you're a very confident guy. You know, I'm not. But knowing the way, no, I probably don't, because you're the kind of person that just take your shot. If you miss, you miss. Adjust your game and then another shot later.
Ask the question and we'll see. You'd be surprised.
So is there a, you know, dang it, I should have asked her out, or I should have gotten her phone number, or, you know, what if I was just taking that shot?
There are plenty of those. Plenty. Like a lot. So regardless of what you think of me, you knew me. When we first became friends, I was getting comfortable with myself, right? Like I literally was finding who I was, right? Believe it or not, my entire growing up that I can remember from like being a little kid, like 3 to 4 years old, up until I turned like 20, 21, I was super shy. I was nervous around girls. I never really was aggressive to get a date, or I would fall, like you, I would fall into the friend zone quite a bit. So yeah, there was a lot, you know. And then it was one of those things that like I would like a girl, but I was too afraid to tell her I liked her. So then I ended up just becoming friends with her. And then our friendships became so big that I couldn't do anything, because now she looked at me like a brother and I looked at her like a sister. So I was like, all right, well, that's a waste of, no, I'm kidding. We're good friends. But around the time that we started working together, it was one of those things where I was kind of getting tired of being in the friend zone, and I was starting to meet a lot of other guys that always took their shot and fucking face planted every time they met a woman. So I'm like, well, if this jackass can survive, I know I'm a way nicer guy and I'm charming as hell. So why can't I, you know, put a little more effort into it? You know, just because they tell me no, it's not going to be. So it's like a tale of two cities.
I have a lot of those. Like a lot.
Do you ever dwell on a certain female? Like, I don't really have one. Like, I don't really have a girl that I've been like, damn, only if, you know. There's a couple ex-girlfriends or people that I dated that, you know, I might have ended the relationship prematurely, and I've thought, what if we would have stood together, or if I wasn't a douchebag and wanted to be single, you know, let me back up. I was never a douchebag, but you know what I mean? Like, I just didn't want to get, I had a phobia of taking relationships to the next step. So like, I didn't want to marry this chick. I didn't think she could be the mother of my children. So I had no problem cutting the cord and being like, all right, I gotta move on to other stuff.
Yeah, there's one in our past that I will forever, I mean, yeah, it's a regret, but I mean, okay. Can't really do anything about it now, but yeah, I definitely, there's one in our mutual group circle of people that I definitely regret not having taken my shot with that one.
Nah, really? So, okay. So one got away, right? Or so what was it? Was it something that you had no clue? Or was it something that, like, you took an opportunity? Were you was she like harping on you and you like totally blinded by her actions?
I'm oblivious, man. I'm super mega oblivious because I've said it before. You know, anybody could ask Lou that he made so much fun of me because of that. And he'd be the one like, talk to her. I'm like, she's flirting with you. I'm like, no, man, she's just having a conversation. And then he'll just, you know, the face palm emoji.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I knew I liked her. I was very attracted to her. And I kept going, and she was, and again, it's similar to like when we talked about how we met our wives, mm-hmm. but we all worked in the same industry. So on our days off, we would go, we hang out, and she was working and the other friends were working, and then she's being real friendly. So I'm like, is it because she likes me or is it because of the industry? You know, she's just keeping that. So, but then, you know, I met my ex-wife, went off, and then she told me, she flat out told me, and I was like, oh.
Oh, she actually like told you me. That she
like, had. She told
me. And you were already with your ex at this point.
Uh-huh. She told me it was actually one of the nights that you and I hung out is when I like officially met her. Mm-hmm. And one mm-hmm. of the other girls from one of the, and apparently she's like, yeah, I've been crazy about you since the day that we met. And I was
son
like,
of a bitch.
Yep.
I hate that. But as a guy, you're the one that's supposed to initiate sometimes. Most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's my problem. I have failure to launch.
Wait, what failure to launch? Launch what?
It's like a mental block for me. I can't. It's like I'll try, but then I my engine seizes.
But I think a lot of guys go through that. They get intimidated by the opposite sex, and you know, sometimes they think they let that shit get in their head, right? Like, you know, she's too good for me, she's too pretty, you know, I don't stand a chance, or whatever the case may be. And that leads to a lot of regret, like confidence issues, right? Like, you're probably like you're not alone in this boat. I'm sure there's a lot of people just like you that are like, I wish I had more confidence in myself to have either asked her out or stand up to somebody or something like that. And sometimes that weighs heavy on people, right? Because you have a problem trusting yourself, and it could be as innocent as a relationship, but you know, as you get older, and you know, you're trying to live your life as is, and you always go back to, damn, if I would just been a little more assertive, or maybe if I would have just stopped to talk to them, maybe this particular person was shy and she didn't like to talk. If you would have just pulled a little bit more, you never know what could have happened.
Well, I mean, it's just like in a past episode, my wife now of, you know, we've been together almost 9 years, I guess she got so frustrated with my awkward ass that she ended up making the first move. So it's like, oh, okay.
That's hilarious.
You say a lot of guys go through that. Well, you know, I'm today years old, and I'm, you know, thank God I'm not going through that right now because I'm married, mm-hmm. happily married. But oh man.
So what's another regret that you think you have that you sometimes go back and you think about?
I have a couple of regrets, and it deals with people that are not even with us anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those situations like
when you say not with us, you mean they have passed away or they just not?
They have passed away. Okay. They have passed away. And you know, is that I didn't get that last moment, or I didn't get to say goodbye, or mm-hmm. I just talked to them 3 weeks ago. And you know, those sometimes weigh heavy on my mind. You know, from my previous EMS experience, I mean, it kind of is what it is. But you know, there's a couple that every now and again I think about it as like, well, you know, what if I would have done this? What if I would that person have survived? So those sometimes also weigh mm-hmm. real heavily on me, and those are sometimes some of the stressors that I have when or symptoms that I have stressors going on leading me down to that path of depression. When I start dwelling on that and I'm like, oh, time to go talk to somebody, or time to, you know, visit a better life through pharmacology again. So those are the kinds of things that I have. Those are like the major, I think those are the ones that impact me the most.
Well, I mean, that's a really good one, right? Like the regret. I mean, I know, like, for instance, like holding grudges, right? Like sometimes, you know, people get mad at each other and, you know, and they hold that grudge, and then unfortunately they hold on to it so long that, you know, maybe the other person either, you know, passes away unexpectedly, and you're left always thinking, I should have said something. I should have said I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been a jerk, or whatever the case may be. And these are things that are tough. Like me personally, like I have never lost someone that's really, really, really close to me. I have had some friends that have passed away, but I've never had that angst of I should have said something to them. And honestly, it's a fear of mine, to be quite honest with you. You know, it's a lot of the reasons why I try to be better with my family, you know, because they're not getting any younger, and I'm horrible. I'm like the worst person. I'm picking up the phone and dialing and staying connected as much as connected as I am. Like sometimes it's hard, especially now, right? I mean, look, you're a dad, you know, you have a little kid. Our kids take up a lot of our attention. Our work takes up a lot of our attention, you know, and then you find yourself 8:30 at night, 9 o'clock at night, and you're like, I want to go to bed and I don't want to pick up the phone. But you never know. Like it's one of those things that you have to try to be better about it. And then you also can't linger on those type of regrets because, you know, it happens, but you have to think that, again, back to, if you believe in a higher power, you have to think that that person is in a better place and they know the suffering that you're going through because you feel the way you feel. So you have to find some comfort in a middle ground within that.
And that's true. And I know that they're in a better place. And again, I try not to dwell on it. I try to make my peace as best as I can with it. And I also know that, you know, especially these people that are very dear to me in my life, they're not going to want me to anchor myself down mm-hmm. emotionally. You know, they're going to want me to live my life. So, but you did kind of bring up something also. And it's not so much of a regret of mine now because my career field has changed quite a bit. But years ago, you know, I did not have a typical 9-to-5 job. You know, I did not have a Monday through Friday job. Mm-hmm. We need you at the office at 7 o'clock and you go home at ?
Yeah.
So one of the biggest regrets that I had, especially during those years, was, you know, the fact that I was investing so much time in my job and my career and kind of putting my family, and my justification was, well, I'm making really good money and everybody's being taken care of. So yeah, that's definitely one of the regrets. Thank God it's not like that for me now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely have that regret of not having spent the quality time that, you know, more quality time with my family, because, you know, at that time, That was with my ex-wife that I was going through all that. And she's my ex-wife now. So, you know, I'm not with my daughter now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Now I think back at it, I'm like, man, if I would have just, you know, focused my attention more on to my baby girl,
mm-hmm.
I would have gotten more quality time with her. Even after the breakup. So now, and now, you know, she's a teenager and she's going through those phases where I won't hear from her for a while.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I understand that she's got things going on. She's a teenager. So it's not like I get mad about it, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a lot of time lost because of work. So, yeah. Hey, people out there, don't let your job consume you to the point that you're neglecting your family.
There isn't a dollar figure or a career title that should outweigh your relationship with your spouse or the relationship with your children. And it's very common. A lot of people get consumed in work. I used to be like that before I had my family. And you know, it's funny because especially nowadays, you always see like people on Instagram and on Twitter and YouTube and all these entrepreneurs that are like, grind, grind, grind. You should be putting in 90 hours a week to do a bunch of different things. And you know what? There's a semblance of truth. But you have to find a happy medium, because you follow that rainbow and you find that pot of gold, you're going to be alone with that pot of gold. And one of the things that terrifies me the most is being alone. Like, I don't want to be alone. You know, I don't want to be an absent father or detach myself from my family. And for instance, growing up, I wasn't very privileged, right? Like, you know, I wouldn't say we were dirt poor, but I know my parents, worked really hard to give me what I had. And my dad was in construction. The guy worked like 14-hour days. And then, like, I would remember my dad coming home, he would leave the house at like 4 o'clock in the morning. He'd go work in construction with his hands on rooftops and get home at 6:30 and be like, all right, come on, let's go to the baseball field. Let's do baseball practice. Let's throw the ball around. And, you know, I appreciate it. I appreciate his hard work. But at the same time, like, honestly, I'm sure he doesn't regret any of it because he's a dad. I'm sure that if I had no choice to do that in my life, I would too. But, you know, I always told myself, like, I was always going to try to make, not to sacrifice so much. And it wasn't because my dad did it out of greed. My dad did it out of necessity. So, you know, it's one of those things where there's a balance, right? Like, if you have to, because you have to put food in your kids' mouths, you know, then do it, right? But if you're working an extra 3 hours because you think that it's going to get you someplace, you really need to evaluate yourself. Like, what's the ROI on those 3 hours? What's the return on investment? You know, I made an extra $10 an hour, but when I got home, my kids were already asleep. And it's a tough balance. A lot of people, especially men, have a hard time really figuring that out, right? Because we talked about this with, like, you know, masculinity, like, we're supposed to be the breadwinners, the provider. We need to go out. We need to work. 40 hours is enough. You work that overtime. You bring in more money. The more money you bring, then the better family man you are. And it's not necessarily true. You know, your children don't have an understanding of a dollar. They don't know, you know, if you do buy them something, they don't know you bought it with them because you worked 2 extra hours or you're broke. They just know that daddy surprised them with something. And you really need to think about, put your mind into a child's mind and see that it's not always about them, you know. Live well, try to live as comfortable as possible. If you want to be a bulldog, go for it, man. Make that money. No one's going to tell you no. I know you and I are like we try to make this into money now, right? So, but at the same time, we're not sacrificing our family time in order to do this. So I have a particular regret that I don't know if I've ever told you about, Julian. So I was going to enlist into the military. Did I ever tell you that?
No, you did not.
Yeah. I was going to enlist into the army, actually. And I had, and I was, I, and the details are very spotty, so you're going to have to forgive me on a lot of this. But I wanted to go into SF, Special Forces, that of course, like every freaking kid that joins the military wants to get into. I don't remember where I was going to go, but my, so you helped me remember the process. So you go talk to a recruiter, you agree to go, you sign that you're going to go, but there's still a period that you could pull out until you're sworn in, right?
When you enlist, you do two swear-ins.
Yeah. And the second
you
one,
that's the one that counts.
That counts. The first one doesn't. So,
I mean, it counts, but
you can get out.
What I'm saying is, yeah.
So my second swear-in date was September 14th, 2001.
Gotcha.
3 days after 9/11.
After 9/11.
And I already had had the conversation with my mom. She had, before 9/11, she cried. She was like, don't do it. And then, you know, she accepted it. She goes, all right, if this is what you feel like you want to do, you should do it. And after 9/11, the when I was able to, because my mom, don't forget, my mom and my brother lived in New York during that, at that time. And I wasn't able to talk to them for almost 24 hours. So when the first words out of her mouth, when I first talked to her, is that if you go into the army, I will fucking kill you. She was hysterical. She was crying. But when she told me that, I believed her. Like, I really thought she was going to end my life if I went. So that was a very interesting conversation to have with a recruiter that I was pulling out last minute. He had a lot of choice words for me, and I had a lot of choice words back for him. But, you know, call it what you want. You know, a lot of people, you know, call me a chicken. They call me a pussy. They think that that should have been the time where I should have been rushing to go, but I chose my mother's mental state over serving my country. And it's legitimately probably my single greatest regret in my life.
I did not know that.
A lot of people don't know. I just shared it with probably thousands of people. I might even get some hate mail from it. Fuck them.
No, not really.
Oh, not now. You're right.
Not right now.
They're probably like, oh, good. You fucking fuck these people. No, but honestly, it really is. I've always had this fascination with serving my country and the military, and, you know, and it's unfortunate. I really wanted to do it. And I was almost a jarhead. I almost joined the Marines fresh out of high school because I didn't want to go to college. And my dad talked me out of it. And he's like, he's like, do your first two years and then reassess. If you feel like you want to do it, then do it. And then I had been talking to an army recruiter for like 6 months, man. That guy was all kinds of butthurt. But yeah, it really is. I feel like I don't know, you call it some patriotic need to want to do something for my country. And, you know, I think about that all the time, because I mean, I'm sure I would have been in boot camp and probably would have been deployed to the Middle East, like right after, you know, God only knows what my life would have been like if I would have done. And I think about that all the time. I'm like, would I have made it if I would have seen combat? Would I be standing here? You know, how many people would I know that would have passed away? I mean, I have some friends that had fallen in Afghanistan, and, you know, it's tough. And I think about it all the time. You know, it's something I still can hear the guy, the recruiter, in my mind on how pissed he was and the words that he used to show me his emotion about backing out of my commitment. And it's probably one of the few commitments that I've backed out of in my adult life.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine what that recruiter had been saying. I think if I was in his shoes.
Are you silently cursing me out right now?
Probably. No. I mean, I understand. I mean, Did that recruiter lose any money? No. He didn't lose any money.
No.
But did he have to answer to a couple of people?
Yeah. Yeah. I got phone calls for months after that.
Yeah. But hey, man, at the end of the day, man, you just got to do what do you, boo-boo.
Yeah. I mean, that's it.
What you felt was right at the moment. So that's, again, going back to these calculated, you know, weighed decisions. At that moment, you made the decision that you were not going to go through with this and that you were going to live with the consequences, good, bad, or indifferent. So now, I'm not saying that you just said it's a regret, but it's one of those things. All right, it's a regret, but I can't really dwell on it because there's nothing that we can do.
Yeah, no, and you're right. But it is something that, like I said, just constantly, like even now I think about it and I'm like, fuck, should've did. Dude, honestly, don't you remember shortly after I had been in remission, I called you and asked you what the age limit was to serve as a reservist in the Army.
I do recall that.
And I still remember one day after it was like a few weeks after I had found out I was in remission, and I had sat down and I had talked to my wife and I was like, I think I want the Army Reserve. And she looked at me like I had 6,500 heads. She's like, what the f- are you talking about? And I was like, it's something that I've always wanted to do, you know, because we just talked about that. Right. So now I'm kind of thinking about it, you know, when I was going through treatment and thinking about all those, my life and things that I regretted, that's something that weighed on me for years, not joining the military. And, you know, I probably watched one too many freaking military movies while I was in isolation. You know, I'm pretty sure I saw Saving Private Ryan and We Were Soldiers and whatever the case, Black Hawk Down. And I was like, I think I want to do this. And unfortunately, I wouldn't have been able to pass the medical part of being able to enlist. That I don't think I would have been able to get a waiver, but I bring it up because I remember having that conversation. Oh man. Every time I think about that, Ben. Yeah. I didn't think I told you about that. I don't think I've told many people about that, to be honest with
you. No, not the
2001.
So in all reality, you could enlist in MEPS and you could the same thing that you can, and they really can't do anything. In all reality, there's nothing they can do. I mean, they're gonna be butthurt, they're gonna be pissed.
Yeah.
That recruiter's quality of life for a little bit might suffer, but other than that,
I mean, I'm here. I didn't die from it. So what do you think as far as dealing, like, all right, so I just told you about something that I think that weighs pretty heavy on me. Honestly, I think about it quite a bit. I can honestly tell you, I don't really have many regrets in life. Like, I really don't. Like you mentioned earlier, I know we joke around a lot and you mentioned that I'm a pretty confident person. And, you know, I really feel like I'm sitting here recording this podcast because everything that I've done that any decision I've made on my own as an adult has brought me to this spot today. Regardless of how many hearts I've broken, how many times my heart has been broken, how many boneheaded decisions I've made, you know, how many poor financial decisions I've made, I'm here because of those decisions, right? And you mentioned it. You said that, you know, it makes you who you are, and it is. It's who I am now. I can't go back in time. It's as of right now, it's physically impossible to do so. And to sit there and linger on what could have been is dumb. It really is. You know,
it's unhealthy.
It's not healthy. You're right. You're absolutely right.
I'm with you on that one, because same thing. I mean, yeah, we've said, you know, I had the one regret. I really don't have regrets. Yes. Should I have been a little bit more aggressive as far as, you know, with the female of the species? Yeah, probably. But, you know, I wasn't. That's the way I'm wired, and I really can't dwell on it. So, I mean, as far as how I deal with it, I don't dwell on it.
Yeah.
I don't dwell in it. I mean, I'm a big person of, I'm a true believer in, you know, worry about what you can't control. Everything else.
Control what you control.
Exactly. I
mean, the fact of the matter is that no matter how powerful, wise, or successful you are, you can't change the past. It happened, right? Nope. But you can change perception, your own perception about what you did or didn't do, and use that as your experiences, right?
Exactly.
And it's something, it's a way to really be insightful to yourself, you know? And as you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure people are probably ransacking their memories of stuff like, damn, there was that one girl at the gym, or, you know, maybe I should have applied for that job even though they told me I didn't have the experience to do it. Or maybe you, like me, made a poor investment back in 2007 and you almost lost your ass financially because you made a decision that you thought was a good thing at the time. But now I sit here, you know, creeping up on my 39th birthday, and I know that I'm wiser for it, and I know that I'm better for it. And, you know, I've made better decisions now because of the things that I've messed up in the past, or of those decisions you made in the past. And it makes you who you are now. Like, think about those things. Now you can take those things and help yourself now, right? Before you make the next decision on buying a house, or maybe you're a single person, or maybe you're in a current relationship, and, you know, think about the things that you did back in the day that didn't work or did work, and apply those to your life, right? These are all experiences. This is no different than your first job you ever had, right? We all had that first job, and we all take a little bit of pieces of every job we've ever had, every title that we ever had, and we use those as building blocks to climb, you know, that corporate ladder or that entrepreneurial ladder to get us to be successful. And I think a lot of people don't realize that it works for your career, but it also could work for your personal life as well.
So yeah, I definitely understand. I mean, and I agree what you're saying, and 100%, because, you know, there's, you know, when we make these decisions, anything, you just have to be prepared. You know, yes, analytically, you got to think about, yeah, this could be good, this could be bad, you know, this could blow up in my face. But, you know, at the end of the day, you still have to make a decision. And then the other part about it is you also cannot just dwell on that. I mean, you can't take it with you. That's another thing.
Yeah.
Can't take it with you. So live your life, you know, try and live your life the best as you can. If you make mistakes, learn from them.
Absolutely.
Learn from mistakes. I mean, one big, you were talking about financial just blunders. I made a huge financial blunder when we met.
Mm-hmm.
That is how I came to be your roommate.
Yeah, that's true.
In the first place. And then, you know, after that, I learned from, you know, I learned from those mistakes. And, you know, I've done a lot better for myself since. You know, I can't, I mean, do I regret those bad decisions? Yeah, but it's part of who made me of what I am. And just like you said, you know, and we've said many times, you know, the road to success is not a straight line.
No, not at all. I mean, regret and worry are probably the two biggest energy drainers and time wasters that you could possibly have as a human. I mean, one focuses on the past, which you can't change, right? And the other is focused on the future in the way that it keeps us stuck, right? Like, you're worrying about what could happen, or what, you know, that decision I made, what's it going to be my effect 10 years down the line? And, you know, it's not a healthy way to do it. It's natural, because if it wasn't natural, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation. This wouldn't be a topic of our podcast. It's something that can be controlled, right?
Exactly.
And you need to look at it at in a way that, what can you do to take action, right? Don't dwell, don't think about what was back in the day. Think about how you can take action and use what you've done in the past to really change what your future could possibly be, right? Like we've just talked about finances, right? and making poor financial decisions. And it gives me, it makes me think about when people talk about, when couples talk about becoming parents, right? When are you, oh, you know, when you get married, the number one thing they ask you is, when are you going to have a baby, right? And I laugh at the couples that are like, oh, we're not ready yet. We want to save money. We want to travel. And oh, yeah. I legit laugh, like, out loud. And they're like, what's so funny? I'm like, you're fucking stupid.
Let me get you a drink. Let's have a conversation.
Let me go grab you a cocktail. Let's have a talk. You're never going to be ready to be a parent.
It's never. You never are.
There's not an instruction manual. There's not a FAQ. There isn't a PDF out there, son, that's going to help you become a better mom or a better dad. All those fucking books that people are paying $24 to read about how to be a better father, or you should use as Kindle. Or something to hold up your furniture, because honestly, or
level the table.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's just it's not real, because they're not writing a book about your life.
Don't you wish sometimes kids would have like a reboot and we're like,
yeah, oh, like my computer, like reset,
like the old Nintendo games, yeah, just blow, yeah, blow your ear.
But like, it's reset. You know, like, that's when you start developing those regrets, is what you did as a parent. Like, you know, it's,
oh yeah,
there is nothing there. Like, you can save all the money in the world and you're still going to be broke, because you're going to give your kids everything.
And that's another thing about the regrets, especially as parents, because now, your parents, now as grandparents, they try to justify,
yes, they spoil
whatever, exact, shitty mistakes they made.
Yeah, by spoiling the living shit out of your kids.
And they'll be like, well, you know, well, we did this and you turned out fine. And we're like, but I mean, I guess if I could sum this up, at least the way that I'm looking at it from my point of view, there's two ways that you could look at it. Is you can't change, and we both said it, you can't change the past, but at the same time, you can't take it with you. So you just got to find a balance in between those, mm-hmm, two. You know, learn from the past. And, you know, understand that at one point we all got to go, and just try and enjoy the moment without regrets. Now, I'm not saying, oh, that's like nobody's watching, because, yeah, people are watching, and there's closed caption cameras all over the place. Absolutely. So if you start doing the Macarena at freaking Walmart, chances are somebody's watching.
Especially Walmart. So, you know. And I'll leave you guys with some information. So I think we really hit on something with taking action. When we go back and we look, and you're making decisions about your life, a lot of people have a tendency to dwell in the past, right? We discussed that. You know, it's not okay to dwell in the past, but you should think about your past, because that's who you are. It's going to make you help you in the future, and use that when you take action. So when you're thinking about life, and it doesn't matter what it is, if you're trying to make a career choice, you know, use the experience that you've gained over the years to help you take action, right? If you're trying to set yourself up financially and, you know, you've made mistakes younger, or you don't know what you're doing, you know, take action, come up with a plan, think about what worked before, what didn't work, you know, even if you're trying to find work-life balance, right? We talked to, you know, Julian mentioned about he thought he had to put in more and more hours to excel his career, and he really didn't have to, you know, he paid the dividends for that, right? You know, he has some regret around that. You know, instead, really try to break up your day, make plans. You know, your job is very important, because without your job, you can't support your family. But it doesn't mean you have to ignore your family for your job. You know, it's, and I think one of the biggest things we've learned about this, and going back to Julian's misstep and misfortunes of not talking to that girl, is be okay with stepping out of your comfort zone. Right? Like, try to have, you know, you don't have to be overly confident. Sometimes it just starts with hello. Take a little action. Just, you know, it's kind of like a baseball reference, right? You don't know if you're going to hit the ball unless you swing. Right? And it's easier said than done. I will tell you, but take it from a guy who used to be really shy and missed out on a lot of opportunities, you know, learn from your mistakes and take that action. I'll leave you with this quote that I really like. I actually heard a long time ago by Mick Jagger. The past is a great place and I don't want to erase it or regret it, but I don't want to be a prisoner of it either.
I was going to follow up by saying something, but I think you beat me on that. Yeah,
that's deep, man. Don't be a prisoner of your past. Don't regret your life. It made you who you are. Move forward and plow through the rest, man. Take action. Don't be afraid to make changes in your life because you're afraid you're going to repeat the past.
Absolutely. Compare your current decisions. Compare your future decisions. But don't compare your past ones, because that's when regret sits in and it's going to be weigh you down like an anchor.
And of course, you know, and if, you know, we as often on this podcast, we discuss about, you know, mental health. If you find yourself at a point where you can't detach yourself from these regrets or your past, you know, don't be afraid to reach out to somebody and have a conversation with them. You know, don't be afraid to speak up. And, you know, if you can't find a loved one, a friend or a family member to talk to, there's nothing wrong with going to get help and speaking to a therapist or a specialist. I mean, out of the millions of people in the world, you have two men sitting here talking to you via podcast. And we both took that step and there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, make sure that you are always taking care of yourself.
True. And because believe me, the possibilities, you will regret those.
Yeah, absolutely. And we don't want you to regret anything.
Nah, man.
Nah.
We don't want you to regret anything, guys.
So I don't know, Julian, do you think this is a good stopping point?
I think it's a good stopping point.
All right. So
I feel good about this conversation.
I did. Yeah. You know, you kind of learned a lot, right? Like I think you and I learned a little bit about each other and I think some of our listeners will be surprised of some of the things that we chit-chatted about.
Drop an Easter egg here or there, maybe.
Maybe. Nah, no Easter eggs.
No. Nah. Okay.
But anyway, so guys, we appreciate your support and we thank you for all your listeners out there. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, please go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast, like us and subscribe. We'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to follow us, you can easily do that by going to our website, invinciblybroken.com. On there has a back catalog of all the episodes and links to listen to our episode on different various podcast channels. Sign up for our newsletter. More things to come in the future as we build our listenership, as well as following us on social media. You can follow Invincibly Broken on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're very responsive. We'll get back to you. Let us know about some of your life regrets. We'd love to chit chat with you about it and talk a little bit about what exactly it is that you regretted in life, and maybe we can help you take some action in life. If you would like to follow me personally on social media, you can follow me on Instagram at invincibly_Orlando.
And you can follow me at invincibly_Julian.
And guys, this podcast episode is officially over. We have zero regrets about what we recorded today, and we hope that you have zero regrets on listening to it. Till next week.
Absolutely. Don't be that guy.
Nah, man. I'm not that guy.